Well, last night I saw a demon. I did. I saw a demon last night. Came to my front door and knocked on my front door, and I went and opened it. And you know what that demon said to me? Trick or treat. Now, I won't spend much time, but the fact that today is October 31st and it is Halloween, we need to kind of have a quick perspective of it. And then every man and woman must be persuaded in their own heart about Halloween. It began, and it's an old Irish holiday, Samhain, which meant summer's end. It was the end of summer. And the Irish celebrated it. The Druids came in, and they began to talk about it as a time when there was a moment at night when the real world had a gap in time, and the spirit world came through that gap in time, and it was goblins and witches and evil things and wickedness. And that's where you get all the kids that are dressed up like demons and wicked skeletons. You know, one guy, he was dressed up just like a skeleton. I could see his bones. And they're having fun. Those kids are just having fun. And I ask them when they come to the door, "What do you want?" You know what they said? Candy. That's what they're after. They're after candy. But, you know, the devil always has his crowd. And that's where the Druids come in, because they're pagan idolaters. And that's why they wanted to make it special and make that time of year when it was going to be celebrated, the end of the harvest, the end of the summer, and the beginning of the cold, and the beginning of the dark, and the longer days. And the devil just always brings his wickedness into what God's beauty is. And I think Halloween gets its name from All Hallows' Eve, and of course All Hallows gets its name from November the 1st, which is All Saints' Day. And that's when the Catholics established a day, and there are always times like this. You know, we have Founders Day at some places, and we have other days. And so the Catholics probably had a lot of people who had folks who had passed on, folks who had overseen their churches and oversaw their worship and were saints to them. And so they said, we need to have an All Saints Day. And so there was an All Saints Day back around the 6th or 7th century that was established by one of the Catholic popes, and it was November the 1st, and All Saints Day. You know, we've got a church down here called All Souls Episcopal Church. There's that. That's All Souls Day. It's all that's November the 2nd, but November the 1st is All Saints Day, and then the celebration the night before is All Hallows Eve. And so Hallows Eve, Halloween, and that's kind of how all that began. But whether we oppose it directly and confront it and point out its wickedness probably depends on the situation and the circumstances. We got somebody who's deeply into it and acting demonic. Maybe we use it as an opportunity to, you know, share about the origin and the love of God as demonstrated in the lives of those saints, whoever they might be. Like I said, everybody needs to be persuaded in their own way. It's interesting, Champ has done some studies on angels, and as we look at angels, we see angels are acutely associated with one nation. That's the nation Israel. You know, in the prison epistles, in Paul's five prison epistles, not the seven, the other two that are pastoral, but the five prison epistles, there's only one mention of angels. Go look at this. Angels, of course, I'm relating that to the idea that the little boy was dressed up like a demon, but it's over in Colossians in chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 3. Well, now I'm in Philippians. No wonder I don't see it. It is Colossians 2. Verse 18. Paul writes in chapter 2, verse 18 of Colossians, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels." That's the only time, and it's a negative. It does appear in 1 Timothy, and if you'll go a couple of pages to the right, you'll see that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16, there's another mention of this. And I just briefly want to hit on this because there is a comparison I want to draw, and it's just a small one. But it shows a distinctly different characterization of our calling and our dispensation, the fellowship of the mystery. Verse 16, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, and seen of angels, and preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's all. Just a little reference that when he was here, the angels saw him in the flesh, and my, great is the mystery of godliness. And in chapter 5, he brings out in verse 21, the only other reference in Paul's prison epistle. So you see, we only have three references. The first one's a negative, and the second one we see is just an identification that they saw the greatness of the mystery of godliness. In verse 21, Paul writes Timothy, and he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. Doesn't have anything to do with us. We don't have a relationship with them. Now, we do have a relationship with those that are categorized in a higher level. But turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, and we see that principalities and powers. And if there is a hierarchy of angels, we know that principalities and powers, principalities being archangels, and there's three that we know of, you know their names. First was Lucifer, became Satan. The other one is Michael, who is the warrior for the nation Israel, and Gabriel, who is the messenger of the nation Israel. But here we see in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and then you can drop down to the last three words, in heavenly or in high places. But we do against principalities and powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness. A very interesting comment. Not angels. Not angels. So, I just bring this to your attention for two reasons. One, to point out that angels, and in the time of our Lord, during the gospel period, and in the time of the Acts period, angels, at least up to chapter 12 of Acts, angels had a lot to do with the nation Israel. Angels have nothing to do with us today. And so, that's an interesting perspective in light of the fact that many people continue to promote the presence and study of angels in our current time. God's clearly put them aside with the nation Israel. Fascinating. Doesn't mean that they don't exist, but there's no interactivity. No interactivity.